structure, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman, and today we have a very special guest on the show. Our guest today is a city letter carrier from New York, and he is also the president of Branch 99, Staten Island, New York, and has been one of the major pieces to his region's success throughout the years in regards to the representation that his members receive. My guest is not only a great president, but he's also a great human being and is the embodiment of what a union president should be. As he also displays those three foundational pillars I always talk about, which again are structure, discipline, and accountability. But his integrity is next to none, his passion to learn and help those in need, and his sense of caring for everyone are all characteristics that all union presidents should look to follow. So without further ado, let's welcome in our guest, my dear friend, Rich Ray. Rich, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. That was very nice of you.
Absolutely. Now, Rich, you've been a city letter carrier out of Staten Island, New York for how long now?
Staten Island, New York. I've been here for 12 years, 13 years. I transferred in from Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay. Trenton, New Jersey. And you've always been a city letter carrier in your whole career or no?
No, I started as a rural carrier.
Wow.
In Crooked River, New Jersey. Yeah.
So you see it from both sides. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I mentioned before, you are the president of Branch 99 in Region 15 there. Have you held any other positions within your union as well before you became president?
I was the vice president before I became president.
Between being a vice president and a president, how much time do you think you have as being a union leader?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't really keep tabs on that. So I would say I became vice president in 2012. And no, sorry, 2013. And I became branch president in 2016. So... yeah, I would say 11 years now, if my math is right. 12 years. 11,
wow.
12 years, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really paying attention. It's going... It really goes quick.
It's
so fast. And and I tell you, they keep us busy here. So, you know...
Yes.
It doesn't feel like yesterday, but it doesn't feel like years ago either.
Well, that's because you are staying busy, like you said. Now, Rich... we've known each other for about 2 years or so, give or take, correct?
I got to be honest with you, Ron. It feels like we've been friends for 20 years, but I would say it's about 2 years. Yeah.
You're right about that, man. Absolutely. The reason why I ask is, can you tell the audience what you thought of me when you first met me and what you think of me today? Now, go ahead and tell the truth. It's all good. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I just want your honest opinion. Reason being is... well, I'll wait for you to say what you're going to say.
Well, listen, I got nothing bad to say about you.
Thank you.
I mean, the reason why me and you became friends is because I loved what you stood for. I heard you when you spoke. Sometimes my concerns with you was that your passion and anger kind of collided together sometimes. That was my concern. I think me and you, we had our heated conversations on and off here and there.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. You know, we never argued. We might have disagreed on and off, but as time went on, I kind of understand where it came from. I feel your pain. And, you know, honestly, I respect you a lot. I already told you that many times.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't call you a friend if I thought you were anything else. You're good people, and NELC, federal employees, anyone who's in need when it comes to workman's comp or anything else, you're the guy to go to because you're going to go fight for them. So I have a lot of respect for you. Sometimes I wish they could be like you.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I mean, there's sometimes I think you could tone it down a little bit, you know. And then there's sometimes I think you could say to me, I'm like, you'll look in the mirror and be a little bit more honest with yourself, you know. So, so I think we all have our, you know, our weak points, and that's what makes us stronger by being a team and at being a you instead of an I. So, Yeah, brother, I got nothing bad to say about you other than you got a mouth. You're not afraid to use it. And and I don't see that that's a downside. I really don't see a downside in that. So,
well, it took me years to channel that into the right direction. Well, right? There's a difference between passion and anger.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. You know, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. Sometimes I just think channeling it in the right direction is the proper way of putting it. But I have nothing bad to say, brother.
I appreciate that, Rich. And the feeling's mutual, by the way. I appreciate you and your honest conversations with me. I check you when you need to be checked. You check me when I need to be checked. And it's all out of love. And that's how a relationship should be, whether it be president to union member, president to vice president, or friend to friend, national to a local union member. I mean, that's what it should be about. Don't be afraid to say what needs to be said, but say it with love. And that's to me, I personally would not be surrounding myself with people who wouldn't do that. I'd rather someone say, hey, Ron, tone the fuck down. You're being an asshole. Watch yourself. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, that motherfucker's right. So, yeah. I appreciate you, brother. Trust me. But the reason why I wanted to ask you that was I wanted to kind of, I don't want to say prove, but just hear it from you first to let everyone know who misunderstands or takes me the wrong way, especially by those, again, who ironically paint me to be this malicious, rude person, when in fact it's the opposite. I mean, well, my intentions are always good. I go out of my way to help those in need, and I have no problem saying what needs to be said in order to hold people accountable, which includes myself, by the way. But with that extra bit of flair and personality, you know, yes, I do curse a lot, but fuck it. That's who I am, right? So to y'all out there who still judge me and who are even targeting me today, just because I called you out on your shit, again, maybe you should take a look in the mirror and ask yourselves why that is. But also, stop focusing on me and start focusing on your members or your employees, which need to be their top priority to begin with. After all, they are dues-paying members. Because honestly, I got to be honest with you, if you don't, you may find yourselves facing a different issue when one of your own start a petition to decertify our union, which that's not what I want. But it's obviously, ironically, what's happening now with the NRLCA on the rural side of things, which, by the way, you only need 30% of your members' signatures. But basically, before you all who are hating on me to get your panties in a bunch, let me be clear, it won't be me starting that petition, but it may be someone else within our union that may do that, because your members are very upset. There's a very large number of us across this country who are upset with our national and or local representation. Matter of fact, it's numerous members from different unions who feel the same way towards their unions as well. It's crazy to think that we are all in different unions and crafts, yet we're experiencing the same issues, not just from our unions, but from management as well, from coworkers even. Now, Rich, you had a great MBA in Larry Cirelli, who just retired. So is it accurate to say that you were in great hands with your leadership at Region 15?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Listen, I put Larry Cirelli up against anybody. He was a true warrior. He's a true asset to the NELC. I know, you know, he retired at the right time. He put many years. I don't know exact years, but I know he was up there in age.
Sure.
I know he stuck around for an extra couple of terms. But, you know, we have to live life a little bit, and we need to grow old. The worst thing that could ever happen to us is we get older, right? That's it. We, you know, just like a baseball player, you know, Derek Jeter and David Cone, all these players, they wind up getting old. Age is against us. And but Larry leaving, I was very upset. Took me a while to get used to that. Not that he did anything wrong. It's just that to me, he was a powerful MBA, and I will put him against anybody. Want to talk about a mouthpiece, Ron, you and him would have got along, because both of you did not have a filter. Okay. And Larry was not afraid to use fuck. Everything was F with him. Okay. And we used to make fun of him, you know, when he was cursing. But yeah, we were under great leadership. And because of Larry Cirelli, I believe I was able to be where I am today, as strong as I am, because I had his backup, I had his guidance, and he allowed me to find myself as well. He didn't stop me to test things out, to try things out. He let me fail, but he also let me learn from my failures without hurting anyone, you know, right. Just a learning process. So, yes, he was a great leader, and I surely, surely miss him.
I think he's dearly missed by a lot of people. Larry, congratulations on your retirement, brother. Well deserved, man. Now, Rich, throughout every year, we go to the Committee of Presidents. If you're a president, you go to your rap sessions, your state or national conventions, maybe just a relationship that you made from one of these events that from different regions that you talk with. I wanted to ask you, do you see that your region with Rally Cirelli, but also maybe now, I know it's getting a little bit worse for you, we'll get into that, but when Larry Cirelli was there, is it safe to say that Region 15 was in one of the top regions as far as their representation, just being represented as a whole, no matter what carrier you were in that region or what position you were, I should say. I mean, talk to me about that. Why? Because it comes up when I hear things, Region 15, I don't want to say they're on their own because they're not, but I say it in a respect that they are on their own because they're one of the few regions that I know of that there's not, I mean, every region has their issue, but compared to other regions, they're better off. Why is that?
Well, I can tell you what, Region 15 is got a powerhouse of leadership. We got great presidents in this region, right. And these branches are very strong and very dedicated. You know, I could say Manhattan and Bronx, Branch 36, Vince Soprano's branch. You got mm-hmm. great leadership there, great union leaders there, great fighters. And you know, rightfully so. They have a big name to fulfill, Vince Soprano.
Right.
He's the one that started this whole collective bargaining.
Yes, sir.
So they, you know, no pressure on them, but they got to stay on top of their game, right? They got to live up to that now. There's no way around that. So, you know, maybe it's unfair to an extent, but it keeps them on their toes and they don't want to embarrass themselves. And I got to say Brooklyn, President John Cruz in Branch 41, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but he's one of the best branch presidents I know in a long time. I got to be honest with you. He's dedicated. You want to talk about loving your people, okay? I would like to say that John Cruz and myself are just identical when it comes to loving our letter carriers. It's not about me. It's about the letter carriers who we represent.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. And you know something? I'm not going to say that I love each individual on a private level, but once we're on the clock and they're wearing that uniform, their family, and their brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that we got to hold hands in the end of the day, but on the clock, we are brothers and sisters, okay?
Equals.
We need to put our differences to the side and stick together. And I think Region 15 has got a lot of great presidents in its region, in all the branches. Now, I'm not saying every branch is a strong branch. I'm pretty sure there's weaknesses somewhere, but for the most part, I would say that from my experience of meeting all my brothers and sisters at the rap sessions, at the COPs, I see a strong region. I'm not taking away from the other regions. I don't know nothing about them.
Sure.
But all I know about is Region 15, and what I could say about Region 15, we got a lot of brothers and sisters here that love their people, and I hope that never goes away. I really hope that never goes away.
Right. So it's safe to say that the people that you just mentioned, who are great men in their own rights, did they help kind of mold you and help you grow as a union leader and as a person as well?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Because I had people to call, Ron, you know.
Yes, sir.
I had people, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I get afraid sometimes. I'll never show it, but I get afraid, you know. I got to worry about my Memphis. I want to do the right thing by them, you know. And I'm also human, you know. And sometimes I do second guess myself because it cannot be this good, you know. It cannot be this good. And it is this good. But I came to realize, you know, maybe I get too much credit. You know, no offense to management, but it's the reality. I don't really have much competition, you know, when it comes to grievances and worrying about the national agreement and running the workroom floor the proper way because management don't have a clue what they're doing. Right. And yes, I got great people who I could turn to for help. And it's not just presidents. It's regular membership. Mm-hmm. It's RAAs, Orlando Gonzalez. I cannot forget about him. But there's great people who I could turn to for help, and they give me their time. They'll call me at 9 o'clock at night. They'll find time for me, even with their families. Me and you, how many times me and you are on the phone at 8 o'clock at night talking about a case of OWCP, what's the right angle, how to help this particular person, where to go. Thank God for Chris and GD. We will be lost sometimes.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's what we are. We care. And finding a family like you, people all over the country, you know, I got people in Cleveland. I got people in L.A. I got people in Chicago. I got people in Minnesota. I'm very blessed to have right people around me.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. And that's because of the COPs. That's because of the rap sessions.
Yeah.
And that's because of the state conventions and the national conventions. We wouldn't be able to have these relationships if it wasn't for that. And now, Facebook, social media, we found a way of making it work for us. It's not as bad and good, but right, like this stuff that we're doing now. Who would ever think 10 years ago we'll be interviewing each other or talking to each other? I mean, who would think this would ever happen?
Right.
You know? And, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you have that because not a lot of people can say they actually have that. So I think Region 15 is, again, just like you're an embodiment of what a local president should be. I think Region 15 sets the standard of what a region should look like when everything falls into place. Now, is it perfect? No, nothing's ever fucking perfect, but it's as close as it gets with Region 15 and some of the other great regions out there who do set the standard. So, I mean, give yourself some, you know, a round of applause because keep up the great work. But moving into the next thing that I want to talk about is, which you didn't bring up, but you kind of touched on a little bit, but what are some of the biggest issues that you see, whether it be from management or union, coworkers, whatever, that you feel need to be addressed and why they need to be addressed?
Well, I could tell you what. This next national contract that's coming up, this contract is extremely, extremely important, okay? This is going to make us or break us.
Right.
It really is, okay? We all understood postal reform. We got that, and we understood what happened with their mandate in 2006, and we get the all the consequences that came with that and what we had to do and focus on postal reform. We got that. We sacrificed. We gave blood and tears for it, and we took the punches on the workroom floors, and we did what we had to do, and we let National do what they had to do in Washington to make sure they secure the Postal Service so that way we all have careers and we'll have a strong union.
Right.
Understood that. That was understood. Now, postal reform is here, okay? COVID came and gone. No one saw that coming, okay? We had a lot of things to happen in the last 3 years that I got to say that I think mentally, physically took a major toll on all letter carriers, not just representatives, but just all letter carriers.
Absolutely.
Who were here from the beginning to the end of that. Okay. And mentally, I think a lot of us are tired. Physically, I think a lot of us are just, it's wear and tear.
We're breaking. Okay? Yeah.
We're broke. Mm-hmm. We're broke. We're not breaking. We are broke.
Exactly.
Okay. And this national agreement is really, really the most important piece of this puzzle. If we don't get a strong contract I don't know where we're going. And I'm saying, and Ron, you know me, I love my union. I stick up for them even when they're wrong.
Yes, sir.
And I think that was one of the things that used to get you crazy with me sometimes, because I found excuses, right? And I understood. But now postal reform is here, okay? And we got what we needed.
Yes.
There's no more excuses. Now we need help on the workroom floor, okay? We need help on the workroom floor.
Oh.
And we got to do something with pay table too. We got to do something because you know what? Everyone's a letter carrier. You're not a TE. You're not a CCA. You're not a PTF. You're a letter carrier.
Correct.
Okay? I don't care if you're 30 years on the job, 1 year on the job, 1 day on the job. You're a letter carrier. No one's better than you. We all started with you. We all started from the bottom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But with pay table two, we're going to be divided if we don't do something about it, okay? And it is going to be a big division. And what's happening is our future is scary, okay? And I said this once before in one of the CLPs, and someone corrected me and says concerning, that's scary. I gotta be respectful here, but I'm gonna be honest. It is scary because if we don't do something about pay table two, we got people in pay table two that don't give a shit about this job and they don't care about our union, their own union. And rightfully so.
I was gonna say, yep.
What are they getting to care? So my biggest fear is this contract. And this contract has got to show that the NERC is strong, that the NERC is going to give its members what they need, because what's going on the workroom floors today, and I don't know if you listened to Corey Walton from Aid to Arbitration.
Yes.
But he said it clear. We're being conditioned to think that everything that management's doing that's wrong is okay.
It's not. It's not okay.
It's not.
What we tolerate is what we're going to receive. Stop tolerating the bullshit and start holding them accountable, period.
Right. All right. I got carriers here that don't understand why I get upset about the littlest things. It's not about the little thing, people. It's about this. You ever heard of the broken window policy? If there's a crack in the window, how petty it is, you don't fix that. That crack gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then when it finally breaks, now you can't fix it.
Right.
Can you fix a broken window? And you can't fix a broken window. You got to replace it. Well, how do you replace the workroom floor? You don't. Once it's broken, it's broken. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. In my branch anyway, that's what I'm trying to avoid. And I got to tell you, the biggest challenge is carriers, not even management. And our national union has got to understand the importance and what's going on these workroom floors. Now, I don't think it's going to be fair for me to say that they're not aware. I think they do. And I think their hands are full. And I know they rely on the branches to do what they have to do. And they rely on the MBAs. But we're running out of people to deal with everything.
Well, national can only do so much. Listen, I call national or local union people probably more than anybody out on their shit. But at the same time, there are people who do great job, and I commend them for doing so. However, I am going to say this. National can only do so much. It is up to each local's president and executive board to do the right thing and what's best for their employees. At the end of the day, it's their, the key word, their members' best interest. So they need to step it up on the local level if they if they're not doing anything, because national can only do so much. We can't keep pointing the finger at national, excuse me, if it's local that's not doing anything. They're getting complacent or whatever the case is. They're scared. First off, if you're scared, you shouldn't be in a leadership position, period.
Well, listen, you know, Ron, I mean, the NBA offices also have to step it up, too, because if there is problems with branches, you know, the NBA offices got to be the go-to guys.
Don't get me started on NBAs, man.
but the reality is reality.
Right.
You know, in order to fix a problem, we have to actually admit there is a problem.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong saying it. Listen, I'm not saying my branch is perfect neither. I got stations without shop stewards, And I can't be in all the stations all at one time. Okay. And I got probably stewards that, you know, could be questionable as well. Okay. And that's a reflection on me, not on them. I'm their leader. I'm right. their go-to guy. And this is my branch. I'm the face of it. Right or wrong, all good and all bad lies on me. Okay.
Right.
And that's the job that I took. That's the seat. And is it okay for me to talk? Can I say something that's private with the branch? Is it okay, Ron?
It's okay with me as long as you're okay with it.
I'm okay
this
with it.
This is your platform okay? as much as it is mine. This is everybody's.
All right, brother. I yep. just want to make sure. So me and Branch 40, Branch 99, Staten Island, and Branch 41, Brooklyn is talking. And we're looking to merge, okay?
Okay.
And 99 will merge with 41 merge. The thing is, I'm going to be giving up my title if this does happen. Okay, I will be giving up my presidency. Going to be handing the gavel over to John Cruz. But this is not about me. It's about my membership. This is going to make us stronger, and it's going to give this branch more resources than it needs. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, let me guess. 41 doesn't want to merge.
No, 41 does.
They do. Okay, good.
They do. Yeah. They definitely do, and it's up to the membership now.
Okay.
But now the thing is what I'm trying to say is that I need everybody in this country to get their heads out of their asses.
Yes.
And stop worrying about titles and start worrying about the membership. My point is, I love being the president. I love it. Okay. I love being the guy that troubleshoots. I love to be their voice. Okay. But if I could hand this membership to a better branch, with better resources, better leaders, better representatives, and they're going to make me better in what I do and make my stewards better in what they do and give us the tools that we need to be better, then you're goddamn right I'm going to sacrifice myself for that.
Right, because okay? it's what's best for the members, the totality of the members, not a single individual.
Right, and I can tell you this, President Cruz does not believe in titles neither. He wants to see people who are doers. Anyone who does the job the right way, there's a seat. We'll find a seat for you. Don't worry about that. But if you're not going to do your job the right way by protecting your membership, then there's no seat for you. There's nowhere for you to go.
Right.
We don't need you. Okay. You want to go hang out with management? By all means, hang out with management. Okay. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it.
I got to disagree. There's a lot wrong with it, and here's why. Very, very, very few people can separate the personal from the professional relationship. And then now you get into preferential treatment. Now you get into favoritism, cliques, politics, all which ironically go into what you say, what you were saying, one of the biggest issues are, which is twofold, one being workroom floor issues. Well, that includes an embodiment of Privacy Act violations, even a toxic work culture, and improper relationships, right? Why is it that we can pick and choose, meaning we can, it's not okay for management to date an employee that's out on the floor, whatever your position is, but yet you can still have a relationship that's not romantic or intimately, you know, involved relationship. There's got to be the line drawn. It's either yes or no. They don't care what kind of relationship you have. You know what I'm saying? But I think workroom floor issues is the big thing that you were getting at as far as with the letter carriers. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. The workroom floor issue is the I know there's a lot of new carriers here because all the senior guys are retiring. And I'm very proud that they're retiring. I'm very happy to see them go. They put in their dues. But at the same token, you know, it's sad because I'm losing my go-to guys that actually understood the job
right.
and took the time to understand the job, the M41, the M39, the Elm, the contract. And they were the teachers of the game, so to say.
Right.
Now they're not here, and you got the middle ones, the guys in the middle. And they're all leaving too. They're going to city jobs, state jobs. And we got the bottom. They're coming in now that don't seem to really have the motivation to learn what this job is. And I don't think they're looking to stay here. Rightfully so. Look what they're starting with in pay. there's nothing there for them. And we're getting weaker that way. Okay. And that's where this national negotiations have to, you know, we have to do something with this contract with the pay scale, because that one reason.
Correct.
But the workroom floor, what is a toxic work environment? Well, just because you don't see someone screaming and yelling and saying, you know, curses or belittling people out loudly or whatever, what's a toxic workroom floor? Well, how about the guy that makes wise-ass remarks about somebody?
Yep. Passive-aggressive, you know, comments.
Right. Like Richie Ray banged up today. Oh, yeah, that fucking guy, he's afraid to carry mail. Oh, he's afraid to carry mail. You know, he has to carry once in a week, and he's afraid to carry mail. Or someone gets injured. Oh, he's just a slacker. And this is what they're putting in their brothers and sisters' heads.
Yep.
That's doing the extra work. And they think, you know what? This fucking guy never wants to work. I always have to help him. Who do you think is putting it in their heads? It's management. It's that supervisor. To me, that's more toxic than someone actually screaming, because you could see that. There's a lot of hidden things that's going on. And I know there's a lot of carriers' feelings getting hurt on the workroom floor by being bullied, yep, by their peers, by their supervisors. And they don't think they're doing anything wrong, because they're conditioned to think this is the proper behavior. Okay? And just a word out to everybody who's listening to this, and it better be everybody. Got news for you. Don't make me find out no one's listening to this podcast, because I'll kick your ass myself. But if you feel, if it hurts coming to work, then there's something wrong.
Well, I covered toxic work environments within my intro episode. So check that out. It's very, very educational, but you hit the nail on the head. But it's not just management, Rich. It's also coworkers. Ultimately, it's management allowing it to happen, because it's right. Management that's promoting it. Therefore, we come back to that word tolerance, right? Well, we're tolerating what's acceptable, what's not. So it's management that we can point the finger at. However, there has to be accountability for the other coworkers on the workroom floor or at the dock or at the time clock, wherever they're gossiping. You know, if you feel like you don't want to come to work and you feel you got anxiety, you feel scared, you feel belittled, and you're not even at work yet, or it's an off day and you're dreading going in the next day already and you're only halfway through your day off, that also is a toxic work environment. And it's a huge, huge, huge problem. It's a problem. That's why it's one of the biggest problems I created Fed Up, because a lot of people, not just our union, all unions, all crafts, all over this country, different agencies, right, have this same problem, and it needs to be addressed. Congress needs to help us. Now, there is the Healthy Workplace Bill that different states have passed, and it's still being voted on as we speak. Some states tabled it. Now, a lot of states voted against it, but some states did. I think we need a better job at pushing that Healthy Workplace Bill, because now look where we're at, Rich. Toxic work environment. Well, that's connected to dignity and respect. That's connected to Privacy Act violations. That's connected to zero tolerance, right? That's connected to workplace violence, which includes bullying and all this other stuff. But all of it revolves around a toxic work environment that is promoted by management. Am I correct?
Well, it's promoted by management. It's condoned by management.
Yes.
And why? Here's the question. Why? Why is that happening? Because I know a lot of viewers are listening to this and they're wondering, why is that happening? Why? What's the incentive? Divide and conquer. You got letter carriers against letter carriers. You just made management stay easy. They don't have a united workroom floor.
You just said it, brother. United.
United. And a union workroom floor is that puts management in check, because what hurts management the most, and I know a lot of people hate hearing this, but grievances, okay? And that's the truth. And if you want a committee to come in to oversee a troubled station, they're never going to come in if there's no grievances, okay? If there's nothing being filed, that means nothing is happening, all right? And you got to stop allowing management to let you believe this is okay, because you are part of the problem. If you're one of the brothers and sisters that pick on another brother and sister, and listen, You know, my brother Paul Cobb always said, when you deliver mail, there's always going to be someone first, and there's always going to be someone last.
Right.
Okay? This is not a race. Okay? Some people have the ability. Some people have better routes. Some people are stronger, and you might be young. But guess what? Every young body gets old.
Correct.
Okay? All right? And let me tell you something. They used to call me Jackrabbit Richie. Now, listen. When I was in Trenton, New Jersey, they used to call me Jackrabbit Richie because I was the fastest delivery guy in that building. Now, I know the Staten Island carriers are listening to this. They're going to be laughing. They're going to be laughing. Oh, he's lying, Ron. He's lying. And it might be right because they don't know Jackrabbit Richie. They know the Milkman Richie. Okay? I didn't slow down, guys. I just found a pace that's comfortable.
Yes.
Okay? And they have to give me a legitimate 8-hour route. And for you young cats out there, I wish they had your bodies. I wish they could handle it. But remember what you're doing to yourself. The faster you run and all the bushes that you jump in and jumping
banisters, railings, yep.
You're going to hurt yourself eventually. It might not be a real injury, but it's going to be a wear and tear. One day you're going to be limping.
CA2.
I'm not going to retire with a limp, brother. I'm not, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Now, Rich, I want to talk about something that you were actually a part of, and it's something that I talk about a lot with the people that I've helped, and even on this show, and that's involving OSHA in regards to wrongful termination or retaliation from reporting a work-related injury or illness. In fact, I think the carriers, if I'm not mistaken, there were three, but I believe maybe it was two out of the three, if I'm not mistaken, were actually within their 90-day probationary period when they reported a work injury. I won't let you speak on that a little bit, but I think the USPS was fined a total, I have it here actually, $6,436 for this, and the carriers were all reinstated. Can you talk more on that, including what the investigator from OSHA said to you after the meeting or interview with management has completed? This is great.
Yeah, I mean, it all actually happened one after another. It was like, it was very interesting. I had a carrier that on probation, I think 84 days or something like that, on probation, that got caught with the vehicle running, and that carrier was not in the truck. So the manager had a discussion with that carrier, turned off the vehicle, explained to them that's a no-no, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, so on day 85, they went into the office with the shop steward and had like a mini PDI and just a discussion, explained to them how important everything was and let them continue the work. Then his carrier got shipped out on day 89 to another station to help out. You know, they were a CCA.
Right.
And they helped out. And in the end of the day, their very last delivery, believe it or not, is they were walking. Yeah, what a shame. The sidewalk was lifted up, and the carrier tripped over it and, you know, went right onto her face. She was a skinny little thing, so she fell pretty hard without seeing it. And she hurt herself pretty good. And, you know, called the management. Management went out, the station went out there. They did their accident report. They did the CA1 and all that good stuff. And the carrier was going to go to the hospital. And they gave the carrier a ride back to their home station because they couldn't drive the LLV back. And then they issued them a termination letter for what happened with the vehicle running. But we all know that was because the carrier got injured.
Right.
So I told the carrier, since you're on probation, there's nothing I can do contractually. Technically, under Article 12, I can't file a grievance on your behalf. But what I advise you to do is I want you to call this number. I gave the carrier the OSHA number.
1-800-321-OSHA for you guys out there.
Thank you, brother. And they filed the complaint, but they had to leave a message because this is during COVID. So they had no one in the office. So
okay.
The carrier left the message. Then the very next day or a couple of days later, we had another carrier that just started the job, literally. their first day on the street, being with their OJI. Climbed into the truck, twisted their knee, got rushed to the hospital, got a termination letter for working unsafely with an OJI. So, of course, I gave that carrier the number to OSHA as well.
Well, he actually had a witness statement, I'm sure, being they had the OGI there with him. So that's good.
Right. Okay. And then the third carrier, on a Sunday, got hurt and came back. And the supervisor on duty was a 204B, clueless of their job, told the carrier, okay, just go home. And someone will call you. Just wait. Now, this carrier had a language barrier, so the carrier just listened. 3 weeks later, they have this carrier down for AWOL. So someone finally decides to call this carrier. Where are you? And the carrier tells the supervisor, the immediate supervisor, what happened. And they were told they were going to call. Goes, are you going to come in? So the carrier came in to work. And they had a boot, like this huge thing on their leg, like they were limping, you know? It was like, it was weird. So my vice president is on the workroom floor at the time, sees this carrier walking in. They're giving this carrier a termination letter.
They're notorious for that, getting you guys to come in to
just get rid of them, right? So my VP stops everything. Thank God he was there. None of us knew. What will we know? No one tells us anything. We don't know nothing. And the carrier comes into my office and crying. And I calm the carrier down. We give the number to OSHA. We help the carrier call. And, of course, this all happens within like a 3-4 day. You know, everyone made a complaint all like within 3 or 4 days. And everyone left messages. A week later passes by. I'm getting calls from all the carriers. No one's calling us back. Relax. Don't worry. Because this was during COVID. Things were a little bit different then.
Right.
So they did get calls back. So a huge investigation took place. And so the investigator calls me because they named me their representative. So the investigator needed some details. So I explained to the investigator what a termination letter is from a notice removal, what the difference of probation is from blah, blah, blah. And here's the funny thing. The investigator who called me was the head of the OSHA department for this region.
Correct.
Staten Island's part of the New Jersey region. And you know what this investigator said? What
did he say?
30 years that she was in OSHA, this is the first time she ever got a complaint from the post office. And, I'm like, are you serious?
Wow. And we get hurt every day on the job or fired or terminated for retaliation, you know, or reporting an injury.
I was so shocked to hear that.
Wow.
I know. I was like, wow. She's like, yeah, so just don't please. I'm going to be calling you a lot because I need, you know, I don't know nothing about the post office. I'm like, God, listen, here's my cell number. By all means, I don't care what time you call me anytime, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I programmed her number and my phone, Patricia Jones. I put her number in my cell. That way, if I saw a call, I knew to, you know, answer it right away. I wasn't going to have her wait, you know.
Right.
So they sent the a field officer down. They're like independent. I don't really know how they do it. But the field officer comes down and selects the number of people to interview. And they ask a series of questions. And then they determine if they see something wrong, okay? So she interviews about 3 or 4 CCAs, and then she interviewed a couple of regular carriers and then interviewed the supervisors later. But all the CCAs said the same thing to her. So what happens if you get injured on the job? Oh, yeah, you get injured on the job, you're going to get fired on probation. Because really? Yeah, they say if you get in an accident, well, they don't say it, but the word, the silent rule is if you get in an accident, you're going to get terminated. No matter what it is, yeah, that's what we were told. So everybody said the same thing. No one, we didn't know who they were going to interview, okay?
So nothing was scripted, exactly.
It wasn't scripted. And, you know, and then we had one guy that, I don't know what he was talking about. You know, he was just, he'll be a 204B one day, just put it that way. But the interviewer knew that he was talking out of his ass. Then when he interviewed the supervisors, she started answering them questions about certain forms that need to be filled out. That's, you know, by federal law, they need to fill out keeping record. Because if OSHA, they didn't even know what it was.
OSHA 300 is huge, guys. Real quick, Rich. Anyone, not just a shop store or a president or anybody, a carrier can ask that manager, supervisor, postmaster, where's your OSHA 300 forms? That's it. If they don't know, call OSHA. OSHA will come out and ask them the same thing. If they can't produce that, don't quote me on the fine. I heard $3,000. I heard $5,000. I don't know the exact one, but it's a hefty fine just for them not knowing. So just keep that in mind when they want to play games with your work injury and your life and your well-being and health. Where's the OSHA 300? But go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Please. I didn't even know that. See what I'm saying? You see, now, just so everybody understands something, just because I filed 8,000 grievances in my career, just because I'm the branch president, just because I'm a chief steward, just because I'm a formal A rep, just because I oversee every grievance that takes place on Staten Island, doesn't mean I know everything, okay? If we don't deal with it, we're not going to know, all right? And when we deal with things, we learn. And with this job, if any shop steward or any union representative ever tells you they know everything, then that's not the person you want.
Right.
Because you want someone that's going to be honest and tell you, no, I need help with everything I do. There's nothing wrong with me calling my MBA office, get guidance, or get clarification of what I'm doing. There's nothing wrong with me picking my stewards' minds. They're not stewards because they're stewards because they know their jobs. Okay? People specialize, like some people are specialists in Article 8s, in Article 16s, in Article 14s, and not all of us could do that. Okay? So that's why we need a team, and that's why the union is you. So just so because you said that, Rod, I didn't know that. I just wrote that down.
Well, I learned everything I learned from multiple people, bits and pieces, nuggets, if you will. But I listen, I make a mental note, I write it down, and then I practice it by utilizing it and giving that to other people. So it's a unified, shared information network, if you will. That's how it should be. I'm no one special, guys. Please. I know a lot of shit, but what separates me is I speak the fuck up and I'm not as scared to say what needs to be said. However, I like to speak with fact rather than hold grudges or give just an opinion. There has to be some kind of fact behind what I say for the most part. And all those facts and knowledge and information, I learn from others. So I just want to say thank you to everybody out there from a national or even a local standpoint. I am who I am today because of all of you. So thank you.
Yeah. And I, same here. Thank you is right. And thank you for believing in me. And thank you for believing in Ron. But what we need you to do is believe in yourself because that's going to make us stronger. Okay.
Yes.
The union is you. No one is scared of Richie Ray. Ron, I'm 5'4". There's nothing scary about me. Okay. Most of my supervisors and managers are like 6'4". They could kick me with their pinky toe and I'm going to go across the room. Okay. It's not about fear. It's about knowledge. Knowledge is power. Okay. Yes, having muscle helps a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind having a little muscle next to me every once in a while. But the bottom line is knowledge is the real power here.
Exactly.
Okay. And all of us could have it. And NELC.org is the best place to go to start. Okay. And Google is a great resource, but just be careful where you're going. Okay. Go to the regular websites where have real information on it.
Dot org, dot gov. Stay away from Wikipedia.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so important for my brother Paul Cobb used to say, just when we were on the work floor together before we became branch officers and we wanted to take care of all the stations, we used to keep our own station locked. We used to tell our brothers and sisters, what's more scarier to management than what is more scarier than the two best shop stewards in the whole borough? 15 carriers that don't need them.
Exactly.
Could you imagine that your workroom floor doesn't even need a shop steward? Because not that they won't use them, but don't need them because they actually know what the contract says.
They're out there.
That would scare the shit out of management more than you could ever know. And at what time before everybody started retiring, at what time my station, I could have had 20 branch presidents. They were all that good. Yeah. Okay? And that's power, in my opinion.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Power. You know? And that's what we need in this union. So going back to that OSHA complaint.
Yes.
Okay, it took them a couple of months to get to it. I think the post office actually appealed the original decision.
Yep.
But it wound up coming down to the fact that it was the first offense. Post office was found they were in violation by violating the Whistleblower Act. Because you put in a claim of an injury on probation, they retaliated against you by firing you for putting in a claim. So OSHA found that was a violation of the Whistleblower Act. So the post office got fined for the first time, I think a total of $6,100-something.
$6,436.
There you go. It was great because I never was a part of this before. So that was a victory. But the best part of that, okay, was that all the, because it was all three of them that were on probation.
Yep.
All three of them were granted their jobs back. All three of them. One of them was granted back their back pay.
That's okay? Great.
Right. But the only reason why one of them was granted the back pay was because they're the ones that had that lapse, that 5-6 week lapse. The other two were granted COP, so they didn't need the back pay.
Gotcha.
So, but that one carrier, I think, got like $21,000.
Wow.
And back pay, yeah.
And his job back. That's a win-win.
That's a great win. And the best part about that was the experience of understanding how OSHA works. See, I hear OSHA all the time, okay? Yeah, I hear people talking about it. I hear people threatening, I'll call it OSHA, I'll call it OSHA. But no one really does it, right? But I actually dealt with OSHA, and let me tell you something. That experience was not only a learning experience, it was such a pleasant experience dealing with them. They were understanding, they were reasonable, they were fair, and they weren't afraid to ask questions if they didn't know.
Right.
And the best part was they treated everyone equally, and they didn't kick the union out of the room. They had the union part of it from A to Z. They didn't leave us out of it. And I thought that was kind of, that made me feel good, you know, that I was part of it. Even if I didn't have a say, I was allowed to be in the room and listen to what they were asking and how they went about their business.
And that area director, Patricia Jones, should be commended because, what did she say, 30 years. This is the first complaint that she's had from the Postal Service. So I think, who else to trust than the backbone of the Postal Service, but its carriers? So I think she allowed you guys to sit in, called you, talked to others, because they wanted to learn. And that helped them make their decision on the wrongdoings that were committed with that whistleblower complaints from the three carriers. So good job, yeah. Patricia Jones.
Yeah, no, good job, OSHA. And I got to tell you something, okay? I need my carriers to understand the importance of asking for shop stewards, asking for representation. Stop thinking that, look, management treats you a certain way when you're doing it their way, okay? You're a fast carrier. You could do 2 hours in one. You could do 10 hours in eight. You could do 11 hours in nine. They're going to love you. They're going to act like they care about you. You need a day off. Yeah, no problem. Have tomorrow off. But the day that you can't do it, is that about what you did for them yesterday? Is what you're doing for them today and tomorrow? They're not going to care that you got sick. They're not going to care that your son is going to the hospital. They're not going to care that your wife or husband's going to the hospital. They're not going to care about grandma or mom passing away. They're just going to give a shit about what you're doing for them today.
Make a deal with the devil. Eventually, you'll get burned.
Right. And you know something? Stop acting like management's your friend. They're your employer. Okay? Yeah. They're not doing you a favor. You're working for what you're getting paid for. You're not sitting in the swing room with air conditioning on, reading the paper and getting paid. You're out there in the heat, working, breaking your ass, okay, and you're getting paid for that reason, not because the supervisor did you a favor, okay? He's supposed to give you work. That's his job. I'm not telling you to be rude to them. Be professional, but stop kissing their ass, because in the end of the day, you're the one that winds up getting burnt. I see it all the time, every day. Rod, you've seen it, right?
Yes, sir. You know? Every day. And like I said, you make a deal with the devil, eventually you will get burned. But Rich, you were talking about the whistleblower complaint. I just want to point out to everybody, that is Section 11C of the OSHA Act of 1970. And just know that employees are protected from retaliation for raising workplace health and safety concerns, but also for reporting work-related injuries and illnesses. You can look at it on OSHA's website, OSHA, www.osha.gov. Again, there's that .gov. You know that's a credible source. But check that out. There's actually a flyer with the it's called an OSHA fact sheet. You can look at all that in there. And also, I want to point out that unfavorable employment actions may include not just what you mentioned with like the termination, like the separation papers and stuff, which is retaliation on its own, but blacklisting, demoting, denying overtime or promotions, disciplining, denying benefits, failure to hire or rehire somebody, intimidation, making threats, which are two big ones, even reducing pay or hours, which is, again, a form of retaliation. But all this can be found on that fact sheet. So just check it out for your well-knowing and just to gain that information and knowledge. But Rich, man, you should be commended. Now, I know you don't think you didn't do much in that situation, but it was your advice that got that ball rolling. And it actually set precedent in that area for that area director, which is, again, Patricia Jones. Thank you. It set precedent knowing that, wow, the post office thinks that they're above the law. What's up with this? I don't think so. So, and they put them in check by this. And now they're on the radar and now they're aware because you, Rich, set the tone and gave the advice to check out OSHA. So you should be thanked. So from us, thank you for all our brothers and sisters, man. We're going to end this episode here, and we will call this part one of our interview, and we'll pick back up with Rich next week, starting with an arbitration case, which y'all need to hear about. That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers. And together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends. Shake.